Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of part 1. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of part 2. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace. Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Joss Ogonige, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America, Southern Missouri, and our guest once again this week is the inimitable, the incomparable, Dr. Robert Ghostwolf. This is a continuation of last week's interview, and we were talking about the Eighth Thunder, and Eighth Thunders, and Ghostwolf was going to continue on talking about Life Review. How are you this week, Dr. Ghostwolf?
We're doing fine.
Have you figured out what inimitable means? I don't know what that means.
I don't know, but it sounds good.
I don't know if it means anything.
You know, if it doesn't get me in trouble with Homeland Security, we'll go
Yeah.
I'm even wondering about the prophecies, but we'll try it.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, they're just paranoid. You know, but this is a time where part of the effects of the quickening and the awakening, you know, first you had the quickening, where everything seemed to be moving faster, and now we're out of the quickening because we actually have to call it, you know, what is the term for things moving at stellar speed?
The warping.
You know, things that, yeah, the
the warping.
the warping, you know.
Yeah.
Things are moving so fast and changing so fast, you can't plan anything anymore.
Uh-uh.
Because the minute you pick up your foot to take the first step, by the time you put your foot down, all the conditions have changed. I mean, it's that quick. So you sort of just got to go minute by minute. That's what you have to do.
Oh, I know that.
And you don't really know the outcome. It's like, well, what, What are you doing, Dr. Ghostwolf? And I said, I don't know. I'm getting through this afternoon.
Well, they can't predict the weather anymore.
No. They can't predict the weather anymore.
Nope.
And they certainly can't predict the crops or anything that's attached to that. So this blending, swirling experience of time, no time, time overlapping, missing time, a lot of people are experiencing that now. And we talked about that in the Eight Thunders. And, you know, it's reached the point now where in talking about the Eight Thunders, at times it blends with my end of days prophecies. Because the end of days prophecies had to do with the fact that everything was changing so fast that by the time you got through putting something down in pen, something else emerged out of it. Situation would change again. So a lot of people are experiencing that now, and that's bringing about a lot of questioning about different things, including we're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies years ago that the Mayans told us as we approach 2012, as the paradigm changes, as the physics that cause the paradigm to be what we perceive it to be change, we're going to become aware of another awareness, you know. And I think that if you go back to the Castaneda books, he wrote about it in terms of when Don Juan was teaching him about the first attention, second attention, and third attention, okay? And the first attention is the attention that everybody has at Walmart, you know. Basically very robotic, very, you know, primal brain, you know, function from here to there. Here's step one, here's step two. Then you go to the second attention, and the second attention is where you start to realize that things aren't exactly what they appear to be. You don't really have the answers for them. It's sort of a transitionary state, but it's a state of higher consciousness. Then you move into the third attention, and the third attention is when you supposedly open up the Godhead, you open up the crown chakra, and all the hormones are flowing in the hypothalamus, and what happens is you now see things in the abstract. You see them for what they are, although it may not necessarily make any sense in logical reasoning. Does that make any sense, what I just said? In other words, wow, you know, I know this just happened, but I can't explain how it happened. You know, that's where we start to experience these time overlaps, time loss. We start to experience things that they call hollow leaps. Hollow leaps are when you're walking along and all of a sudden in the next step, where you go out for a walk in the woods and you come back and everything's different.
So it's Uncle John, the Iroquois elder, you know, he said, let go of the bank, get, attention number one, get out in the middle of the river, which is flowing fast, attention number two, and just keep your head above water, attention number three.
Yeah, and God will talk to you.
Yeah.
It's time to let go of the branch. Just let go and go with it. But it's also a time in doing that where in this life review process, it's like a bungee cord. Whatever we put out when we go into these unconscious rages, in other words, you're doing things, but you're not really aware of why you're doing it, or it could be anything from you having, you know, on the negative side, you're having an argument with somebody, and if somebody were to sit down and say, wait a minute, what the heck are you arguing about? You'd go, I don't know, okay? Or you'd be sitting there doing something, and you're caught in the current of it. Sort of like you grabbed onto an electrical fence and you can't let go, but there's no logical reason for why you're doing it. And as you come, and so people go into their things and they're playing out their egos and they're playing out their rage and they're playing out their feelings of lack and, you know, they were abused and all this other kind of stuff. And so they go into all of these dramatizations in life or high drama. And then what happens is all of a sudden the bungee cord snaps. And they're faced with the consequence.
It's like
this comes right back, bang, mirror reality.
You knew what was going to happen when you peed on the electric fence.
Yeah, you know, it's like, why did you put your finger in the socket?
Yeah,
I mean, But it's like so it's an immediate payback on action. So we're sort of I guess this is a form of the purification where we're being forced into being a one consciousness, a soul complete, a holistic being instead of a fragmented being. We have to walk our truth. We have to know what we're doing and be conscious of why we're doing it. And it's all preparation for where we're going when the emergence actually happens in full tilt boogie, as they say, because our thoughts will be instant manifestation. And so we're being trained now in what can be experiences, painful experiences, but they're nothing in comparison to what would happen if we went to the next emergence, to the fifth world, and we put out these negative thoughts, and it would slam us back, you know, to such a degree that we probably wouldn't survive. So we're learning how to control emotion and thought. We're learning how to live in the now, absolutely live in the now, to live in the minute, and to take responsibility for your actions, your thoughts, and your words. That's how I see it playing out. Anyway, as we go on, going back to these ancient prophecies of the Mayans, they talked about the collapse of religious structures, scientific structures, financial structures, and social structures as we approach the year 2012. Because we'd be moving into this other paradigm, this other level of being. Greg Braden talked about it in An Awakening to Zero Point, where as we come to zero point, it's going to be like we're walking between two worlds. And so, you know, I think everybody is experiencing that, except maybe the people in the White House, because they keep telling me everything's all right. But when I talk to real people out here in the world, everybody's in turmoil. Everybody's in chaos. No matter what you're doing in business, it's like almost impossible to get business done because you're dealing with everyone's little corruptions and everybody's lies and everybody's schemes. And it's like nothing turns out to be the way that it is. It's we're facing all of the corruption. We're inheriting the effects, the results of our thoughts and actions from the last few generations.
Oh, yeah. I know the state of Israel. I mean, you know, for the last few months I've been dealing with people in and around Israel and high places and low, and that country is about to come unglued.
Well, that whole area is going to be...
Oh, yeah.
Like a bunch of rubber bands that are going to all go fizzle sprung at the same time. You know, but there again, okay, what is the logic that we're seeing in the insanity that's being played out there? I mean, you know, you have, who the hell is Bin Laden, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a construction worker, hello?
Yeah.
You know, this is not a messiah, this is not a holy guy. This is a construction worker with a lot of money who decided, these guys screwed me in some business deal, so now I'm going to screw them. They gave me money and trained my men, meaning the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to take that same machinery with the money that I have that they pay me for the oil and things that they get, and I'm going to turn this machine against them and I'll get the infidels out, okay? But look at the results of what this lunatic is doing. It's like they're killing their own people. They're killing their own holy men. They're killing women and children. It's insanity.
Well, you know, Colonel Bo Grice is a friend of mine, and I haven't talked to him in a bunch of years, but right after 9/11, I went and checked his website because he's the guy that was sent over in the 80s to train the Mujahideen in the use of Stinger missiles, which is what turned the tide of the war and eventually chased the Russians out because they no longer had control of the skies. And what he said was, he says, if you understand how their mind works and how their concept of holy war works, he says, you know, you'll notice they didn't continue going after the Russians once they left. He said the reason why they attacked us was because we put troops on Saudi soil, and they were required by their religion to come after us. And he said, had we stood down at that point, there would have been no further attacks, because that's the way their religion works. But nobody listens to him. You know?
Well, yeah, now what we've got playing out over there. Today.
Back and forth and back and forth, revenge.
Yeah, and it's the old Roman emperor thing, you know? It's Octavian and Augustus, and they're going to control everything, and they can't. Some things just can't happen, you know?
And well, I mean, when was an American ever going to not retaliate after an attack? But, you know, that's what we needed to do, was just leave them the heck alone.
Well, yeah, we're reliving the whole thing over there, the whole Armageddon scenario, which is about to spring up right in front of our faces,
yeah,
in a major motion picture, is basically everybody living the decrees of their father's father's fathers.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the now. It has nothing to do with reason or right. It has nothing to do with spiritual awareness. It's like they have listened for centuries, we have listened for centuries, to what our fathers laid down. They go all the way back to the Crusades and the infidels. This is a playing out of the same thing.
Yep.
George Bush coming over there now and going in and taking over the schools and the education and the finances and the oil and the museums and all that. Well, that's no different than the Romans coming in and taking over everything. It's no different than Richard the Lionheart coming in and saying, we're taking Jerusalem over, you're out.
Well, sure. It's, I mean, everybody knew.
So we were like, oh, I think we've been here before.
Everybody knew this last days was going to be a replay of the Roman Empire.
Well, it absolutely is. And Octavian's in the White House. And we are sitting here now. We're seeing on the other side of this, because there's negativity and there's positivity. And most of the time when people talk about things, you know, Dr. Doom and all that, everything's about the negative stuff. Well, this is an art bell, so let's get on with some of the other stuff that comes out of it. We are seeing, like, it's like an overlapping of consciousness and an overlapping of paradigms right now. We're seeing people coming up with incredible insight, with incredible understanding and compassion. At the same time, we're seeing the opposite occur. And it goes back to the quickening at the end of the last century. But now we're coming into a thing where we're seeing a natural but accelerated evolution of the species adapting to the changing environment, including to the effect that we're seeing children being born with incredible consciousness, with very different genetic DNA structure.
That's what you were talking about at the end of the interview last week.
Yeah, and, you know, these are called the indigo children, the crystal children. Now we have the dolphin children, okay? All of this stuff goes all the way back into time, as far as ancient scriptures and whatnot, talking about these types of events, this changes in consciousness. You know, if we go into some of the ancient Mayan things, we realize that there have been several changes in consciousness over the last few thousand years. They refer to it as the cycle of civilizations, I believe. Civilizations come, they rise, they fall, they go through a cycle. It's predictable. And they have it down so pat that they can predict it like a farmer with his crops.
Oh, yeah.
But like these new children, you know, and again, here's part of the miracle of Mother, Father, God, because there's no explanation for how they're being born or where they're coming from. They can't possibly all be abductions. They can't possibly all be walk-ins, okay? But the consciousness is incredible, you know. Some of these crystal children, which are very different than the indigo children, they sit there with these big, giant eyes. They're very, very sensitive. Extremely hypersensitive, and they may not talk until they're 3 or 4 years old. I have a friend who's got a son who, I think he's one of these crystal children. He didn't utter a word till he was like 3.5 years old. And then all of a sudden, the little boy starts to talk in full paragraphs.
Jeez.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, da-da, hello, mama, hungy, you know, all that kind of baby talk. It's like all of a sudden the kids just broke out in full paragraphs.
Please,
they were sitting there and I said, head. Well, something's really strange happening,
yeah,
you know. So I said, I don't know, maybe you have Socrates reborn into your house.
Yeah.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
But and so, you know, and they come out able to play folk piano concertos.
Incredible.
But they don't have any understanding of music. In other words, if you asked them, well, could you write that down in notes, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. They're children. But they put their fingers on the keyboard, and I've seen this magic. And you're just sitting there, speechless, going, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing, you know. Otherwise, beyond that, they're just kids. A lot of the parents have a lot of trouble controlling them.
So you're not talking about a savant here, or, you know, someone who's has low IQ, but they're brilliant on something. In other words, these are normal to average,
except they're extremely hypersensitive.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it's like words really crush them. And they come up with stories about where they came from.
So they're otherwise
talking about other worlds, you know. And
yeah.
Okay.
So they're not low IQ.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're high IQ kids that are absolutely dazzlingly brilliant on some talent.
Right.
That's unprecedented.
You know, they're, I guess they would be called child prodigies, you know.
But there was prophesied that this would happen, that the very, very best spirits would be born just before the end.
Uh-huh.
Because they would be the ones that would be leading us into the next phase.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping that they reinvent 67 GTOs.
Yeah.
They were really nice cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember cars had style. But, and they weren't more than your house.
Well, you know, I had an interesting, just kind of an aside story, back in 85, my wife and I we had this 16-foot travel trailer and a Chevy Love truck. And we were here passing through the Ozarks. We weren't living here at the time, but we were down Table Rock Lake at a campground. And we couldn't get back up the hill. It was a steep, it was paved, but we couldn't get back up. And so we got, you know, about halfway up the hill, and we're just stuck. The Chevy Love Truck would not pull that little 16-foot trailer up that hill. So along comes this guy in, you know, what, a GTO. No problem, you know. He just throws a chain on my front axle and just says, don't forget to change gears, you know. And I'm telling you, man, he got in that thing, and it was, oh, man, it was just unbelievable power. I mean, he's pulling me and that trailer up that hill.
Yeah.
And I was transfixed, and, you know, finally, you know, Joanne says, hey, change gears, you know, and they had somebody driving behind me, and later on he says, yeah, I was wondering when you were going to change gears, and then I saw the puff of smoke. But, man, they had unbelievable power. It was 440 in it, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a real 440.
Yeah.
Getting back to the tail end of these new children coming in, you know, again, these prophecies were originally talked about in 1982.
Yep.
I published them in 1998. I was only allowed to publish at that point the eight thunders. I was not allowed to talk about the ninth thunder yet. That happened later. But, you know, it says in the prophecies that the intelligence of many of these children will be so advanced to their parents that, in essence, they will be directing the behavior of the parent, as the will of the parent will be no contest to the powers that these children seem to possess. Now, we're seeing that today. We're seeing homes that are totally run by their children. Brilliant children. But it's all a matter of will. It's a matter of will. And so we're seeing the parenthood being tested. How it got here, we can come up with a lot of 3D explanations, but still, they didn't know about this when they were just looking into the future, seeing what would happen. You know. So, you know, it's just amazing as I go through. They talked about political figures will be seen. New political figures will come out of this chaos, and they'll be seen as the new founding fathers and mothers. And there'll be a great evening of the genders. In other words, women would come in and take positions that they have not taken in political arenas since centuries ago. I mean, you know, it's been a long time since we had a Cleopatra or we had a Hatshepsut. It's been a long time since we had women rulers. I mean, basically, it's been the boys' game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that now. Now we are seeing this. You know, our first empress may be Hillary Clinton, God help us. And then they talked about the warlords, the chaos and the violence in the streets. Well, you know, they played out a lot of fictional movies with the return to New York, the return to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
with Kurt Russell and all these different things. But now, as we're looking at the news every day, and we're looking at the Taliban and all these people, what are we seeing? We're seeing this super advanced army running all over the place chasing these medieval warlords.
Yep.
And they're on camel and horseback and running through the mountains and fighting with swords and machine guns and all that. But it's like, here's your warlords. So, you know, they were clear about what they saw. We couldn't see it 20 years ago. Because, you know, all we saw was the dream. And the dream told us how effectual everything was. And that it was perfect and everything was going to go on. Ubladi, ublada. You know, they spoke about the awareness of global political structures and the people to a long-running relationship between the people of the stars and the people here. They spoke in terms of what could very well be deciphered today with the more knowledge that we have of the involvement of governments with off-planet cultures creating ships that would move in between time and space. Well, as we go back now and we discover what's really happened with the German Vril, and the things, you realize that the Germans were experimenting with ships, interplanetary ships and time travel ships, way back in the late 1930s, which is part of the whole game of why after the war, after it was realized that, well, you know, Hitler's now got no longer than 3 weeks to survive, so what do we do? And Patton says, General Patton says, go in and crush him and take him, and all of a sudden he gets these orders, no, wait, let the Russians do that.
Mm.
And the whole game was, while the Russians were preparing to go in and do the tactical war thing, all the German scientists and hierarchy were being smuggled out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
They were being placed in different places all over the world as heads of corporations, as heads of NASA.
Werner von Braun.
Yeah. You've got
Operation,
the story.
Operation
Paperclip. Yeah. And now we're finding out that this stuff actually did occur.
Yeah.
So the elders were pretty right on with all of that stuff. They talked about the changes that would happen in our society with the way the job markets went, so to speak, that many of the jobs that people were once doing that were considered part of everyday life would no longer be in existence. We're seeing that now with the death of farms, ranches, and the whole rural America. You know, it's like they decided they're going to grow all the fruit in China, and they're going to grow all the cattle in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the world as a global farm, and people still haven't caught up to how they look at things. You know, we have cut down our rainforests between the middle of the last century and now, in the beginning of the 21st century, or only the first 5 years. We now have about 2% left of the rainforest.
Hmm.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people do not realize the consequence of that. The Kogi Indians have come out and tried to tell us. They tried to do a couple of documentaries with that. They told us that the conditions were changing up in the Andes, and that the Andes were the places where the clouds were born, and that the Andes were literally turning into a desert, and that when this happened, there'd be no more clouds born, there'd be no more rain. We'd start to see the disappearance. First, we'd start off by seeing the disappearance of frogs and amphibious animals, which we're now seeing. Frogs are fast disappearing from the world. They talked about all the toxification and how it was, you know, I mean, like maybe the way Grandfather talked about it might seem amusing to an educated person from Harvard. But he said, so I was in the sweat lodge, and the fish started to jump out of the stones. And I looked, I said, why are you jumping out of the stones? And the fish said, you're killing us. You're killing us. You have to stop killing us. Well, that's the way Grandpa saw it. He was a 70-year-old Lakota at the time. You know, he still was around during the times of the original Black Elk. He remembers those times. Or he remembered those times. And so he saw the fish jumping out of the stones, saying, you're killing us.
Was this Peace
Catches? But now we're seeing the fish jumping out of the water.
Yeah, was that Peace Catches, or was this...
No, that was Wallace Black.
Oh, Wallace, yeah.
Which is another story I could get into, but I won't right now. I mean, Wallace did a lot of things in his life. When you look at the movie Lakota Woman, and you see the old medicine man with the black hat, that was Wallace.
Yep.
And Wallace was the one. Wallace was the one who did the Chinupa walk, and brought the Chinupa and the different tribes to the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Brought the Hopi to the UN 3 times.
Wasn't he at Alcatraz?
Pardon me?
Wasn't he at Alcatraz?
No. No. You mean later when they did that thing at Alcatraz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe he was. I believe he was. But, you know, he was, you know, he goes all the way back to those times, in times of RT and Mad Bear.
Yeah, in the late 60s. You know, you can go on the National Park Service website, and they've got a historical thing about the Indian takeover of Alcatraz,
uh-huh.
You know, with pictures. You probably see his picture up there.
So he had quite a history in all that, which was
written
out because he took on the embracing of the non-Indians, the non-enrolled Indians.
But now he's just a big fake.
Because to me, there is no such thing as a pure blood. There hasn't been a pure blood on this continent for 1,000 years.
That's right. But everybody says he's just a big fake now. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this movie the other night with this country guy, Richard Wagner or something, who did a concert up in Pine Ridge. And I'm sitting there looking at all the Dakotas with full beards.
Yeah.
And I go, what's going on here? This looks like Alaska, you know. First time I ever went up to Alaska, and I was invited to come out and sit with the chief of the Chickasaw. And we were talking about different things, and I walked in there, into his house, and all these people, the incredible people. But it was like, I thought it was a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, they're wearing bandanas, and they had beards and earrings in their ears, and, you know, and I was like, wow, you know. Are these Jerry's kids, you know? So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and I'm not going to go into that because that's really got nothing to do with the prophecies. We are such a mixed bowl of vegetable soup.
Oh, yeah.
And have been for centuries. This country has been for centuries. And, you know, the only thing that ever destroyed outside of the War of the Heavens, which happened thousands of years ago, the only thing that ever destroyed the people was their own warring amongst themselves.
Yep.
And so the only one who ever stopped that for about 500 years was the Ganawita with his Kayunirik Kawa, with the Great Peace, and the understandings between the tribes. And he warned them on his departure and his prophecies that you will break this. And for a period of time, after you break this, you'll become as dust to the earth. And you'll even forget your own languages and your own ways. And sure as hell, come the Revolutionary War, what do they start doing? This side gets bought off by the French with metal tomahawks and guns and metal knives. That side gets bought off by the English, and they fight against each other.
Yeah.
And the Seneca kills...
Yeah.
The Onanaga and Bingo,
yep.
It's there, okay?
So,
prophecies like this are fulfilled. We're living it out now. And we're seeing people coming back to the oneness of who we are as being the children of one mother, father, God. We are seeing that, despite what we're seeing on the media news. And where we see that, life becomes prosperous. Where people put the differences between themselves down and start to work together, life becomes prosperous. Where the Wasichi way is, nobody trusts anybody. They're the only ones that I know who build fences in their own towns to keep themselves apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I go back to the ancient ruins, I didn't see that. You know, I go back and look at the Mayan ruins, I didn't see what I see when I walk through a contemporary Mexican town where they have stone walls around every house.
Well, the only place
with broken glass on the top and pit bulls in the yard, you know?
The only place you see fences on the Navajo Rez is they got 12-foot fences around the new car dealers.
Ah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, they've always loved their ponies. You know? And it was customary to take ponies from one tribe from another, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how Pete Ketchus got his name. Pete Ketchus many horses because he used to steal horses from the Crow.
Yeah.
And we're seeing things now. Okay. Prophecy 41 from the Eighth Thunder. Insurance companies will begin to fail due to disastrous weather calamities that will be occurring during the first decade of the new century. The industry implodes due to 1,000% inflation. In some areas of America and our allies, the paper economy will disintegrate as those who oppose us begin to back their currencies with gold. Well, we're now seeing a lot of difficulty on the market because both the Arab nations and China back their currency with gold.
That's right. Let me weave in a couple other little prophecies here. Swiss Re, now for those folks who don't know what reinsurance or reinsurers are, reinsurers are the huge insurance companies that are behind the big insurance companies.
They're the underwriters.
They're the underwriters, right. And, you know, I used to sell insurance, so I know what they are. Anyway, Swiss Re, R-E, is the biggest reinsurance company in the world. And, you know, they realize that there's climate change afoot. And this has been going on for close to a year that they've been talking about this. And then they know that the jig is up. And so there's, you know, there's a fulfillment there because they've talked about it publicly. And there was one other point I was going to make, but I can't remember, so go ahead.
Well, then they talked about things that would happen in America, the signs that we would see that it was beginning to fall apart and that a new America was emerging. And like all things, everything is born out of chaos in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide. And then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
They talked about how that the military was being divided and that there would be almost a mutiny going on at one point. This is all in the first decade. Only 800 prophecies about what happens in the first decade. So it's the first 10 years of the 21st century, which we're right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about that there would be three factions, one upholding the policy, political agendas of the UN, which is all about biodiversity, and reducing the world population to about 50 million people, period. They did that in 1993 in Brazil when they were supposed to be having the Conference of Indigenous Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And only indigenous nations are outside. Inside, the scientists and the military were sitting down talking about what they would do about overpopulation, global warming, all of these different things, running out of fossil fuels, that we wouldn't have enough food, based on what was going on with the population. By the time we reached 2010, we would have, you know, not enough people to feed based upon the food that we would have. They calculated the pollution and the rate of destruction it was causing. And so the overwhelming consensus was, well, we simply have to reduce the population. And we're seeing this done every day right in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in third world countries at pandemic levels. I mean, we're looking at Africa and AIDS and all this. This is all orchestrated. The AIDS didn't come out of the ground. It didn't come out of God's anger toward men. It came out of a scientific lab.
Right.
Okay. They were warned.
I heard Len Horowitz talk about that last night on, or a few days ago on, with George Norrie.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, one of the guys you should get, who's the guy who basically wrote the book that Len Horowitz sits there and pontificates on the platform about, is you should get a hold of, I should hook you up with Dr. Paleo up in Clark. He's the guy who's, that's his information.
Yeah, he said that, and that's what Len said, was that he got all the information from Dr. Paleo.
Yeah, that's why when it goes up to things and people come in for questions, he goes, well, I don't know, I'll get a hold of Dr. Paleo.
But he said Dr. Paleo died a couple weeks ago.
What?
I believe that's what he said today, and I'm pretty sure.
That he died? I just spoke to him this morning.
Oh, really? Well, there was some other...
He's like one of the closest friends I have.
Okay, there was some other... person that he said that was all part of I guess this is a part of the AIDS investigation. I'll have to go back through and listen to it and figure out who it was.
Strickner?
Can't remember. I just can't.
Strickner was the guy who first came in. He was actually on the team that created the whole genetic virus
thing.
Yeah,
maybe it was.
And he created the AIDS thing with them and told them, what are you doing? You're letting a Frankenstein loose.
Mm.
You don't know where this thing was going. And he was very involved with genetic engineering and the engineering of different viruses for specific groups of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, 30 years later, 40 years later, this stuff never happened. Everything was official denial.
Right.
And then how come they invited all the scientists who were working in Russia on the very same stuff to come investigate these sites?
See.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, we're not stupid. We don't have all the facts, but God gave us a couple of other gifts.
Mm.
Like being able to put two and two together and know it makes five.
Yeah.
and, you know, we see things and we sense things. But, you know, it's hard. It's everything's, I mean, everything's secret and colored and filtered, and the only things that you see on media news are what they want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are told what they can talk about, what they can't talk about. So it's like, you know, you're not really watching news. You're watching propaganda. But, you know, people do it because the news isn't about news reporters anymore. It's all about these super personalities all trying to have talk shows, you know. I mean, it really is. It's all about ego. It's not about journalism.
Oh, I've been found out.
Yep, so we're going to have to, you know, somebody's coming over to your house. I don't know, I don't remember his first name, but it's Rumsfeld. First name rhymes with Donald Duck. Anyway, I shouldn't be laying out my political viewpoint. This is about prophecy. But, excuse me, Donald, I don't speak Neanderthal, so would you please speak slowly?
Mm-hmm.
and then we were taught that they talked about a new coalition coming together of different countries, and that we would see the reformed United States joined together with Japan and Mexico. We would see China become the big brother to a lot of the third world countries, and that they would become an opposing force. Now, this all has to do, in one sense, with the Armageddon, doesn't it? Because they talk about when the bear goes down and the dragon and
mm-hmm.
and all of that. Well, the people of the dragon are China.
Mm-hmm.
And the bear, well, that's Russia. And, you know, we're seeing China now coming in and selling, you know, all these things you're talking about in, you know, these various Middle East countries, the technology, well, most of it comes from China.
Oh, yeah. We're in debt big time, too.
So, you know, they're coming in and saying, well, the hell with it. Don't worry. We're going to get everybody armed so that we can fight against these infidels. And we feel the same. So China is becoming the big brother. China is having an economic war with us. Right now they're trying to buy up Unocal, you know, the
yep.
they're gonna, Union 76. They're going to buy up Oriel. It's like They found out that everything in America is for sale at 9%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they have an endless supply of money, and so they just keep upping the offer.
Oh, we gave them the technology.
Yeah.
During Bill Clinton years.
Brought it all over there.
Money.
You know, but part of that is funny how it started. I remember years ago, I was friends with Dave Packard. Remember Dave Packard?
Hewlett
Packard? I put up a solar system in a spa at his house.
Hewlett Packard?
Yeah, Dave Packard. Mr. Hewlett Packard. But Hewlett was the other guy. Anyway, we're over there in Los Altos, and we put the solar system up, and we hook up his hot tub, and we're sitting around talking, and I started out by saying in the conversation, you know, you're going to be able to get a lot of tax credits for this. Because at that point, they had 50% tax credit in solar. He starts laughing, you know. And I go, do I say something funny? He says, Robert, I don't need tax credits. I don't pay taxes. I said, so I found out about this whole other element of society.
Yeah.
But he was saying, I said, well, you know, I said, would you answer me a question? How come you're building these factories in Mexico? And he goes, because I'm tired of paying $80,000 to $90,000 a year for a janitor.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was the insane economic game here, where houses, I mean, in the last 20 years, houses went from $25,000 to $750,000. Is that 1,000% inflation?
Yeah.
The house that I lived in California, in Felton, California, which is up in the mountains just east of Santa Cruz, it was a four-bedroom house. It was on 5 acres of land. But it was just a house, okay? And, you know, I think I paid $400 a month rent, okay? I just went back in that neighborhood, and believe it or not, I was going to visit my daughter who's in California, won't leave those mountains. And I just drove by the old house. There was a for sale sign, so I called up the realtor. I said, how much you want for the house? And they said, $750,000. It's a real steal.
what
I was like, hey, man, I lived in that house.
Whereabouts is Felton?
Felton is just up in the mountains, just east of Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was the place where all the hippies and the mountain guys ran away to, you know. That's where all the girls with the name of, you know, White Buffalo Flower and all those guys, you know. They were running all over the place. And when you played music, you know, the Doobie Brothers and whatnot, well, you lived up in that area.
Well, my folks bought a house in Newport Beach, you know, in the East Bluff back by the Back Bay in, what, 68, 67 or 8 for like 2,000. I mean, it's at least a million now.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's on Irvine Ranch. They don't even own the land. It's just the house.
So since I had a house. Another house that they have is up in a place called Stinson Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Stinson Beach is up north of San Francisco by the water, going up toward Marshall and Bodega Bay. And it was a fun little beach bungalow community. I had this house. I think I paid $19,800 for it. Okay. The house is now sitting in a neighborhood where there's not one thing under $1 million.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, maybe I shouldn't have moved. I just had to wait 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, but like this is what's happening. That's why we're seeing this invasion of California to all the bordering states.
Yep.
I mean, it's big problems in New Mexico. It's changing the economy. It's changing everything.
Okay.
These guys go and they sell their house for $750,000. My daughter's house, she lives in Pleasanton, California. She's got a little two-bedroom house, older adobe-style house, on a lot. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I could spit from one side of the property to the other, okay? And she says, well, we got to stay here, Dad. And I said, well, why? She goes, because the house was appraised at $650,000. And I went, you got to be kidding me. I said, wow, if I can only move my house here. But we're seeing that in New Mexico. We're seeing things go from where you used to buy a house for $50,000 $70,000 3 years ago.
And we got, when I was...
Now that same house is $300,000.
And when a couple of years ago when I was, a year and a half ago, I was trucking out in California, you know, the welfare officials were talking about families of four that had an income of $40,000 and could not afford to make ends meet. They had a, you know, $2,000 mortgage and a month.
You can't do it unless you're a foreigner.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a foreigner, you come in here, they give you platinum credit cards, they give you 100% percent financing, and they give you a Lexus. But the rest of us who live here, we're fixing our old, you know, 1990 trucks. I looked in the newspaper the other day at the foreclosure market because I'm looking to move to a larger piece of property because of the horses, and just within a 25-mile radius, there were 23 foreclosures. And these are all people that came in with this, you know, 100% financing, all this stuff. Refinance your house and get the money. And then all of a sudden, they're stuck with these, you know, $3,000 a month payments. So, like, you know, folks, wake up. Something's going on. Something's going on. To try to get home again here. They talked about Korea.
By the way,
they talked about Korea attempting to create a new third world religion.
Is that right? A new third world what now?
Religion.
Oh. Okay.
And now there's a lot of organizations out here that have these, you know, retreat centers and things, and they're all owned by the Koreans.
Yeah.
They're run by this guy called Reverend Lee.
Well, you know, Reverend Moon is still around, and he's more influential than ever in U.S. government circles of all things.
Uh-huh. And you know, these people go there, and I'm going there, you know, like I needed a place to do something outside of the place that I was doing something with a larger group in Sedona once. And I wound up, somebody said, well, go out to this retreat center. So I go out there, and it's one of these Korean retreat centers. And so I went there, and I did the ceremony, and the Hopi came and everything. And he was in the hills with binoculars watching everything that was going on. The man actually invited me to his house for lunch, which shocked everybody. He wanted me to go to Korea to teach Native American whatever. I said, well, number one, I don't teach that. It's just part of what I do. And I was looking at him with all of his people, and these people are mindless slaves. They're mindless slaves. I was going, you know, wow, this is a really curious situation. And they just bring them over here. They work for next to nothing. They're totally slaves. They're told who to be with. The girls are told who to sleep with, who to indoctrinate into the propaganda and the program. I mean, I'm not telling you a science fiction story. I'm telling you a real
story. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, wow. I mean, this guy must think like we're all really stupid out here or something.
And he just wanted you to be part of the dog and pony show.
Yeah, it was another roadside attraction. But, you know, I knew that guy, so it didn't work. I was on the bus with Ken Keith. I know, because it used to break down every 25 miles. Nothing, because you can't run the bus on hemp.
Yeah.
Ken, it doesn't work. but they talked about all these things. They talked about the Antichrist movement that would come over the planet, but they didn't talk about it in terms of this dark Messiah.
No.
They talked about it more in terms of a movement. And I think that we're seeing that with Bin Laden and the things that are going on in the Middle East right now, where it's just this encroaching rash of irrationality that now is absolutely everywhere. I mean,
well,
yes, you opened up the cauldron, Mr. Bush, but are you prepared to deal with it? And are you prepared to deal with the fact that it is we ourselves who let these people in and protected them?
Yeah.
And the same thing with the illegal aliens coming over the border. You know, I live in the Southwest, and I've lived here for a long time over the years. I mean, there were times when I couldn't take the desert anymore, and I'd go up to Orcas Island and then come back down to the desert. But this has been going on for centuries out here. But what we see now are millions, and they're not just they're not just Chicanos, okay? I mean, I was just talking to Emery Holmes, Hopi, who just had a granddaughter. He's now a legitimate grandfather, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And, about 10 days ago. Anyway, he's saying, you know, we're seeing a lot of strange people up here in Hopi Land. I said, well, how are they living up here? He says, well, he says, they live down by First Mesa, you know, because they rent houses out to everybody down there. He says, but there's a lot of those Middle East guys that are renting trailers and living down there. And I said, really? He says, yeah, it's not like it used to be. So, you know, you have all these open, backward areas where people are moving in and everybody's moved out. They aren't in the neighborhoods that they used to be, where everybody knew everybody because everybody lived there for two generations. They moved out because there was no means to make any employment. You couldn't do anything. There was no future. There was no hope. So they moved out, but what's happening in place is these other people are moving in. And you're driving along the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, and all of a sudden you see a house, and sitting in front of the house, you got a Lexus and a Mercedes, brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, wait a minute. That can't be Paco.
Got a couple of Middle Eastern guys. They're probably working for Swift Transportation out of Phoenix. And didn't live about anywhere, be a truck driver.
Huh?
They're home 2, 3, 4 days a month.
Yeah, you know, you walk into the general store in the middle of Navajo land, and there's all these women with veils over their face.
Yeah,
and I'm going, wow, is Navajo doing something new?
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
I mean, you know, we're laughing about it, but we're seeing this happening. And it's almost like, you know, I have to sit here and go, hello, people.
Well,
are you asleep?
Wouldn't it be a kick if the Blue Star Kachina that danced in the plaza was a Hebrew teacher who put his prayer shawl on, that had a blue Star of David on it. Dad's left.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you know, but there's things out here. There's the other side of that. When a couple of years ago, when they were getting ready for the return of the Blue Star Kachina, and they talked about the return of the Kachinas,
yeah.
The Hopi's in it, didn't they? And they talked about, you can see where these Kachinas come back, because you'll see the wild corn growing in the middle of nowhere.
Ah.
Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks ago I walked out. I moved my rose bushes, because the sun is so destructive now that flowers don't bloom. They come up to bud and then they just die on the vine.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
radiation.
You get this like blight on the leaves, and you're like, "What the hell is going on?" You know. So I they're all in pots, mind you.
Too much.
They're all in pots because I know that I'm moving to a larger place. So I put them under the patio. Now they're in pots, the way I got them from Walmart. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I go out to the roses and they start coming back and they start getting healthy. Because they're not in that direct sunlight, which is devastating. I mean, everybody out here has got skin cancer. Nobody sunbathes anymore. But guess what's growing in one of my rose pots?
Wild corn?
Wild corn. And I just said, thank you, Grandfather. Thank you for letting me know that you're still here.
What the hell?
So I got a wild corn plant growing in one of my rose pots. Just a single corn thing.
Incredible.
And they came from Walmart, and I don't think that they planted corn in them. Because the others don't have them.
Huh.
You know, speaking about the sun, you know, the Hopi spoke back in 94 about our son was sick.
Yeah.
And they spoke about, I think that was the same year that we had the 23 comets hit Jupiter.
Yeah.
And they said, this is bad. And they talked about the sun was sick and that the sun would become poisonous again. And
well, you know, that Shoemaker-Levy thing I just found out here recently, that was a huge sign that the Hebrew prophetic people have been looking for a long time.
The imbalance of the sun?
Yeah.
The sun,
yeah, well, the comet breaking up and hitting the backside of Jupiter.
Right, right.
And, yeah, they were looking for that to happen for a long time. That was a big wake-up for them. And interesting, it was named after a couple of Jews, Shoemaker and Levy.
Yeah.
One of them was Levi, yeah.
He made dungarees, didn't he?
There's unbelievable things going on around us right now. And it's just...
But the sun is a killer now.
Oh, yeah.
It's causing skin cancer. It's causing crops to die. It's causing this latest heat wave that we had, 26 people died in Phoenix.
Oh, it got up over 100. Well, the heat index here last week for a couple days in a row was over 110. It was over 100 degrees, but with the humidity, it was 117.
Yeah, well, I live up in the mountains, and my thermometer out in front of the house in the shade was 107, 111.
And then today it didn't even get I don't think it even got above 80. You know, the rains came and the heat quit.
But we're seeing a lot of it. Just enough to kill the crops.
Yeah, just enough to kill the crops.
Just enough to kill the crops, and the farmers have to come in, and they get a small, you know, late summer harvest.
And now they're talking about some kind of, expecting some kind of big solar event here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and what a lot of people don't know is that those farmers get loans from the farm banks, and the ones who supply the money to the farm banks come from the Mideast.
Yep.
So they're buying the farms. Hello, people. What is that telling you? You know, is it happening right in front of your front porch? You don't even know it because the dog's asleep under the rocking chair. It's going on, and the sun is, we're having all these huge solar flares. It's erratic. The poles are shifting on the sun within minutes. It's quite scary, so...
The North Magnetic Pole.
That they talked about 20 years ago, they're here.
The North Magnetic Pole has moved from where it has been up in northern Canada, which it was right smack in the middle of northern Canada. It was west of Hudson Bay. But now that magnetic pole has now wandered out into international waters and is moving toward Russia. You know, it's incredible.
Here's a couple of things they talked about.
That's an earth change, folks. That's
yes.
a big one.
Well, speaking of earth changes, these are some things they talked about that we would see in the weather, which 20 years ago was unheard of. Okay, like, what are you talking about? They talked about electrical snowstorms that, and dry lightning in the dead of winter. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The first one I experienced was a couple of years ago. I was going down to driving from Santa Fe to Phoenix to do a show, and I drove through Flagstaff, and I'm in the middle of a blizzard. A blizzard. And there's lightning all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, I'm losing my
mind. I saw some of that while I was on the road, too.
They talked about unusually long droughts side-by-side occurring with flooding.
Yeah.
They spoke about straight-line tornadoes, sometimes attaining speeds of over 200 miles an hour, and that the prairies shall become desolate with dust storms, which shall blow across the parched land as many of the farms and ranches lay fallow, because they can't grow any crops. They talked about hurricanes that would come with winds in excess of 200 miles an hour. They talked about rain and snowstorms in full sunlight. That would be perfectly sunny, and you'd be in a snowstorm. I've experienced that out here, especially in the high country. They talked about snow and hail in the heat of summer. Some of the hail will be as large as grapefruits, and blizzards will not be uncommon in July. Well, you know, I got pictures up there on the site of a hailstone that's the size of a football. Okay?
Well, it's snow in the Horn of Africa and Somalia for the first time ever in late June. And the snows are disappearing off of Kilimanjaro. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. They talked about firestorms. Some of them will rage for a month. Some of them will rage for months. They won't be able to put them out until the rainy season comes. Sometimes creating huge spouts of fire tornadoes.
Yep.
Well, we're seeing that. They talked about the many of the forest areas will not be, will smolder for months at a time until the winter snows came. And we're seeing that. They talked about something called thick clouds, that's the way they described it, which become denser than water and will cause many airplane disasters and will be like hitting concrete by birds in flight.
Well, that's incredible.
And, you know, I've got pictures of these clouds. They look like ventricular clouds, but they're not. And they're thick clouds. And they're thick. The planes have had problems and come down. There were some flights by Alaska Airlines with the smaller jets where they ran into these things and the jets came down. They talked about strange, along with the sleet and these thick clouds, they talked about ice sheets, large chunks of ice falling from the sky. I got pictures of these large chunks of ice. I mean, they're the size of 2-foot boulders. Is come falling out of the sky.
Well, they've had some instances around Salt Lake of blue ice falling out of the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for airliners.
They talked about blood red rain from the clouds. Clouds as black as night shall fall upon the land, and death will follow quickly as the air burns the lungs and the eyes, and people become blind from the oozing sores they get. Well, there's a lot of people now with these kinds of conditions, because of the chemtrails and things that are coming down from the sky. And their eyes are always oozing with pus. They have vision problems, but there's nothing wrong with anything physically. It's that this is the way that their bodies are trying to take care of the toxicity. This stuff is so acidic that it's killing trees, plants, and crops. Well, what do you think it's going to do when it gets into your eyes and your skin and your nose? Then they talked about something called still storms. I said, what are still storms? And there are periods where there's absolutely no movement of air, that the atmospheric pressure is such that it is felt in the ears and is actually painful. Sort of like if you were up in a plane and the cabin wasn't pressurized right, and you get that thing in your ears. I get that a lot of, you know, when I used to fly these cheap flights. And it hurts. It hurts. But they're talking about this happening just in different places. Now, when I travel from, let's say, Las Cruces up to Albuquerque, there are areas where all of a sudden the truck doesn't function right. All of a sudden it starts overheating. And you can't get radio stations. They're just like spots. You know, 3-4 miles, 5 miles. And then you come out of it and you're okay. There's certain places that I go through that I swear to God, I don't take that same route anymore because every time I go down, something would happen with the truck. It'd overheat. I'd have to pull it over. And it didn't matter if I had the truck just worked on or what, and I take care of my vehicles because I use vehicles in my work. And these things would happen, and, you know, so maybe that's what they were talking about. They talked about fireballs, the green fireballs coming down from the sky. They said the green ones are okay, but that the orange ones, the red ones, were malevolent toward us. And that sometimes what would come down with it would be pieces of almost metallic ice, razor sharp, and they'd fall down from the skies, and they would cause huge fires and destructions. Well, we are seeing that now.
This goes
back to really ancient prophecies, doesn't it? When things came falling from the heavens.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the southern hemisphere, too, not long ago.
Then they talked about giant water spouts coming up out of lakes and oceans. We know it as G-force. That these things would begin to appear with more and more frequencies, like huge funnels, bringing things up out of the ocean. I've got some pictures up on the site that are U.S. Navy pictures of these water spouts now that are happening all over the place. Very dangerous to navigation and shipping. You don't know when they're going to occur, how they're going to occur. And they go up for hundreds and hundreds of feet. They talked about the appearance of rainbows at night. First one I ever saw was at the Ghost Dance in Montana in 1998. We saw double rainbows in the middle of the night. Now, we know that was benevolent, but still, you know, strange occurrences. They talked about that they'll have days when there'll be solar burn days, when temperatures will go up to, now, what did we just come through? When the temperatures will go up to 120 to 140 degrees. And that people will be warned not to go outside.
Yep.
Because the sun will kill you. And we're now coming out of, what do we have, 20 days straight like that?
Yep.
And it wasn't just in the Southwest in the desert, people. It was all the way into North Carolina.
Yep.
And went right across the whole southern half of the country.
Yeah, we had just about a week of heat advisory here.
Well, you know, when I was in Truth of Consequences, and I was walking across the parking lot, and my sneakers were sinking into the asphalt, I knew I had to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this is ridiculous, man. You know, I mean, you can't, you know, adhesives don't work. Paint comes off the truck. All the moldings around your window just turns into this crystallized stuff that you can break off with your finger. This is what happens. I had a tire on the back, and I was only in this place for a month. And you could go there with your finger and pick the rubber off the tire. That's how it dried it out. So, you know, the elders talked about this back in 1982 at this Rainbow Walk. They talked about spider webs and strange funguses that would fall from the sky, burning the flesh and burning crops. Well, speaking when, you remember him.
Yep.
We talked about the three demons that would come from the sky. Two of them, they would manage, the first one would last for a short period of time. The second one, they would figure out how to control. The third one, they would have no answer for. Well, now we're seeing all sorts of sea life, mammals that live by the riversides and the plants dying, disappearing from these funguses that are growing and causing Ebola in animals. They're just causing all the watercress and all of the plant life, all the vegetation that grows along riverbanks and things to just dry up and die. And it's not necessarily because there's no water. We're seeing trees die from what people are still calling acid rain, but it's something else. because it's a fungus. You travel up in the Pacific Northwest, and the birches are all dying. All the birches are dying. And you go up to the Douglas firs and the pines. Some of these are 200, 300-year-old trees. And they get the fungus. And the fungus is very peculiar. It starts off looking like a lichen, okay? And it's green, and it grows on the trees. But it also grows on the tractor and the rocks. And it grows in the sunlight. Hello? Fungus doesn't grow in sunlight, okay? So there's something strange about this fungus. Anyway, it hits the trees, and then all of a sudden, within a month, it's up and down the whole tree. I mean, boom, the whole tree is covered with this thing. The next thing is that the following season, what you see are these huge sores, like the tree had poison oak or something.
Huh.
And this dripping of the sap from the trees, okay? Well, this fungus goes in between the bark and the tree, and that's where the membrane is, you know. And like when we make the smoke for the pipe, we don't smoke the outer bark, we smoke the inner bark. And the inner bark is that green thin layer that's between the bark and the wood, okay? Well, it goes in and it affects that, and that's where the whole life source of the tree moves, from the ground up and from up down. And so it goes in there and kills that. So all of a sudden you have these trees that are 200 years old, 300 years old, they've been perfectly healthy, and you drive them through the forest, and all of a sudden they're all dying, and they all die within 2 years. And when you go into the wood, it's all pulpy and fibrous, you know what I mean? It's not wood. It's like it's affected the whole DNA structure of the tree. So the wood is useless, because all you can do is make sawdust out of it. And so maybe that's why we're finding now all these new houses that cost $900,000 are being built out of this compressed wood stuff, which is essentially wood pulp cardboard.
Yep.
It ain't real wood. I mean, they don't have oak beams anymore. They don't have big Vegas going across the houses anymore. They don't have any of that. It's all this other stuff. And then they talked about aurora storms. These strange lights in the sky.
There's your sun.
Okay. And we're seeing that all over the place. They were seeing auroras in Texas last year. I mean, someone want to explain that to me?
That's incredible, those latitudes.
You know, they're having Colorado and Texas. I don't think as far down as Houston, but at least El Paso.
It used to be unusual if you could see them in Long Island.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s.
Well, I saw him when I was up on Orcas.
Well, you were higher
right. I was right. I was.
End of part one. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of part two. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
Let the truth be known.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Hey, 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 hey. of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper. Of another time, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper,
prophecy keeper.
Oh. Like a lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you gave me grows intently through the years
and becomes a waking dream.
So let the wind blow. Thank you.